week we began to discuss Erevin, but I felt like I wasn't going about it the right way. I started discussing some general broad concepts of Rishus HaYachid, and I felt like I wasn't really connecting so much. So I thought maybe this week we'd take a slightly different approach, still with an Erevin. I'm not giving up on Erevin yet, but maybe a slightly different approach to some of the topics. So what I want to try to do is take a topic that is very practical, halacha l'maisa, and explore how we do it l'halacha, and just as opposed to going through principles, but go through some actual halacha l'maisa topic. A little bit of background is necessary before I explain exactly what the topic is. There are, as we know, separate different types of rishuyos and shavus. There's what we call rishus hayachid, rishus harabim. There's makom patur and a karmelis also. How to define what's considered rishus hayachid, what's considered rishus harabim, what's considered a makom patur on a daraisa level has nothing to do with who owns the area. It has everything to do with how many walls there are, how many people go through that area. It has everything to do with things like that, but nothing to do with who owns the area on a daraisa level. For instance, if you have an area that's surrounded by four walls that are each 10 tefachim tall, that is a rishus hayachid, and therefore you can carry there on a daraisa level all day long inside such an area without any concern, even if you own part of it and someone else owns part of it. So if we have an apartment building that's surrounded by four walls, we can carry inside that building all day long. We have a community, let's say, that's surrounded by walls, which we do over here. We have a community surrounded pretty much by walls. We have on one side we have Tzuras HaPesach, but three sides we have walls, so we could carry throughout this community all day long without any problem on a Daraisa level. That's the Din Midaraisa. Chazal, however, on a Derabbanan level, said that not only does the Rishus HaYachid have to be closed in by walls, but all of the different people that live in the Rishus HaYachid have to be unified in some way. There has to be some unifying force that brings everybody together, and the walls don't do that. The walls just make it a Rishus HaYachid. We need something else that's going to bring everybody together into a single unit, and then we're allowed to carry in that area. So what is that something else that brings everybody into a single unit? So generally the way we do it, Chazal were, because this was a whole Chumra Midrabanon, so Chazal were pretty lenient about how to unify us. We don't all have to, we don't have to send each other text messages all the time and see how everybody's doing. We don't have to converse with people, God forbid. We don't have to do things like that. All we need to do is one of two options, and we'll see. Each option has its own has its own application. The one option is called a Ruvei Chatzeros, and the other option is called Schirus Rishus. Now tonight's shiur is going to be about Schirus Rishus, probably the term that most of us are not as familiar with as we are with the term Eruvei Chatzeros. So let's start with Eruvei Chatzeros just for a minute. What is Eruvei Chatzeros? Everyone that's in this Rishus HaYachid joins together, puts in a little bit of food into a communal pot, and they put all that food, that box of food, in one person's house, and that way it joins everybody together through their food. Everyone puts in a piece of bread or matzah, because matzah will stay a little bit longer, collected from every family within the Erev, and it's placed in one of the houses within the Erev. Now, you haven't had someone go around to your house and actually collect bread. What we do instead is we buy a box of matzos, and we make a kinyan on behalf of everybody that's in the neighborhood, so everybody owns a piece of matzah from that box, which is changed roughly once a year when we renew the Erev in town. That's just the North Woodmere one. For you, it's not going to, so I don't think you own that. But that's you either, Doctor. But that's our North Woodmere box of matzos. So if we have that box of matzos, that's how we all join together, and that's the Erev. That's an Erev Chatzeros. Now, how much matzah do you need to have? You see, we only have one box. So technically speaking, each family is supposed to contribute the size of a grogros, the size of a dried fig. However big that is in matzos, that box does not contain the amount of grogros that are necessary to cover every from family. And there's a reason I said from family. We'll get to others in a moment. The halacha is, though, once you have 18 grogros, that's good for everybody, that you never need more than 18 grogros. So once you have 18 grogros of matzah, so you're good. That covers everybody in the entire community, and you change the box of matzahs once a year. Like we mentioned, that's what the Shulchan Aruch recommends. So that's what we do. That covers all the frum families in the neighborhood. Now, what about the non-frum families, and what about the non-Jews in the neighborhood? Now, if I share a chatzer, the leap that we have to make when we study, when we learn through the sources, is that Chazal never dreamed of an idea of actually making an Erev on an entire city. The Erev was made in a chatzer or in a mavoi. So what? A chatzer is 3-4 houses. A mavoi is, I don't know, a lot of houses, like 15, 20 houses. It wasn't, we weren't dealing with the citywide Erevim that covered thousands and thousands of houses, because they would never, they weren't imagining putting walls around such an enormous area. But that's what we do. We put walls around this giant area, and everyone needs to be unified. So an Erev Chatzeros is great for people who are joining an Erev Chatzeros. The problem is, non-Jews are not eligible to join in an Erev Chatzeros. So we would say, okay, fine, so if they're not eligible to join, so they must not be a problem. Problem is, the Mishnah tells us in the very first Mishnah, in the sixth parak of Maseches Erevin, which we'll get to in a few weeks, I'm a little bit ahead in the daf, the Mishnah tells us, Hadar im ha'akum b'chatzer, if a person lives in the same chatzer together with an Ovid Kochavim, Oim mi she'eno moda be'eruv, or even just somebody who's not molded to the concept of Erev, someone, a Jew from the Hamptons, who, fights the Erev, doesn't want the Erev and is not interested, right? So someone, such a person lives in your chatzar, hare ze osar alav. That's going to make your chatzar asr to carry in. So we're stuck over here. The guy who lives in the neighborhood, and we'll get to the non-from Jew a little bit later, but the guy who lives in the neighborhood causes us a problem because he can't join in our Eruv. If he were able to join in our Eruv, that would be great, but he can't join in our Eruv. He's not allowed to join in our Eruv. Yet, he makes the whole Rosh HaSayachat asr for us to carry it. So what do we do about this guy? So the halacha is, and the Mishnah says it, the Gemara actually says it right there in the very first daf of the sixth parak of Maseches Erevin. We do what's called Schirus Rishus, that since we can't join him in an Erev, we have another trick for a guy. We do what's called Schirus Rishus. The basic concept of Schirus Rishus is the person who would like to carry in this enclosed area on Shabbos asks the non-Jewish people who live in the area to rent him the right to carry in their area. And if they give up the right, they're willing to rent it out, and you have to pay for it. It has to be paid for. If it's not paid for, that's called bittul rishus, and a guy can't do that. A guy can only do sechirus rishus, so you have to pay for it. If we pay him for the rights to use his to rent out his ownership of that area, so that will join us together, and once we're all joined together, so then it's okay. So all we need to do is knock on every door of every non-Jew in the entire area and rent out from them the right to carry in that chatzar. And like I said before, when you're dealing with a chatzar that has 5 houses or even a giant mavoi that has 20 houses, it's a little bit easier to do, even though the Gemara says we had problems sometimes. Sometimes the guy said, no, I don't like you. So we had to have one guy who went out of his way to be extra nice to the guy, to befriend him, to somehow become like Schiro Lkito, which is a different concept we'll get to later, be like one of his workers or his farmhands who can represent the guy. Because you need someone, you need either him or his representative to actually be willing to be Socha Rishus. That is the halacha of Schirus Rishus. Now, given that background, what do we actually do? And how does it work? So let's start taking a look at some of the marmakomos over here. The Rambam in Hilchos Erevin Perek Beis Halacha Tes, the Rambam tells us, one more point of introduction, I apologize. On Samach Beis Amin Alv Maseches Erevin, and I didn't really include the Gemaras in the source packets, the Gemara says, well, wait a second, is this a din d'oraisa that a guy's dira counts as a dira in the Rishus, and is it really part of the Ikar Takana of Erev that we need the guy to be involved in some way or another? So the Gemara says, no, not really. The Gemara calls diras akum is loshma dira. It's not really considered a dira in our neighborhood. But we still require Tzchirus Rishus because we want to make it as difficult as possible to live in a neighborhood with Ovdei Kochavim. Why do we want to make it as difficult as possible? Gzeir Hashem Yilma Mimaisav. We're afraid that if we live in a neighborhood with Ovdei Kochavim, and it's too easy to live in a neighborhood with Ovdei Kochavim, that we're going to come to learn from them. We don't want to come to learn from them. So that's it's Machlokas Tanaim, exactly when we're going to come, when we make this Gezerah. Do we make this Gezerah if it's even when it's just one Jew and the one Ovdei Kochavim, or only when it's at least two Jews? One Shita in Tanaim says, well, if it's just one Jew and one Ovdei Kochavim, there's no need to make a Gezerah, because no Jew in his right mind would share a Chatzar with an Ovdei Kochavim. Chavim. Though the Chavim could kill him and get away with it, no one else is watching. So that's never going to happen anyway, so don't worry about it. But when it's two Jews that an Ovid Chavim, so then we have to worry that the Jew is going to learn from the Ovid Chavim, and therefore they made it as difficult as possible to share space with the Ovid Chavim by requiring this concept called Schiris Rishus. So Schiris Rishus is required, not only is it not required Midaraisa, it's like a lower level Darabanan. It's not even based on concepts of Erev in as much as it's based, but it's motivated by a concern of Shemel Yilmim Maaseim. So now, with that background, I'm going to leave this Gemara open just in case. With that background, take a look at the Rambam in source number one. The Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Erevin. Yisrael Hadarim Nachri Yom Ger Toshav B'Chatzer, a Jew who lives with a non-Jew or a Ger Toshav in a Chatzer, Eino Oser Alav, Shadira Sagai, Eino Dira Elika Behemo Hu Chashuv. Really, technically speaking, the dira of the guy is not considered a dira, and the guy's presence should not cause a problem for the Jew to use the chatzer. V'im hayu shnei Yisraelim o yeser, v'goy shacheni mahen. But if there are two Jews, the Rambam is passing like the Shita that it's only a problem. If there are two Jews and one guy, hareza osraleim, then the guy's presence causes a problem. So you have no problem with Eruvei Chatzeros if you are the only Jew living in your town. You have problems with a lot of other things, probably. Good luck finding kosher pizza shop, probably. But you will have no problem with Eruvei Chatzeros if you're only one Jew. Because says the Rambam, we paskin one Jew and a guy. We're not worried the guy doesn't aser anything. But if it's two Jews, if you're not the only Jew in town, then you have problems. And this is all because we don't want to be influenced by the guy. And we weren't gozer with one Jew and one guy because that never happens anyway. Because no Jew in his right mind would be left in a chatzer alone with the only two houses being owned by a Jew and an Ovid Chavim. He's afraid that the Ovid Chavim will kill him. In fact, there's an Isser Yichud anyway. You're not allowed to have Yichud, you're not allowed to be alone with the Ovid Chavim because anyway he's going to kill you. Okay, that's the Rambam. The Rambam goes on to say, in source number two, the very next halacha, Shnei Yisraelim v'goy hashochnu b'chatzer achas v'irvu Yisraelim li'atzman. So here's what you do. You live in North Woodmere. You have a bunch of Jews live here, some goyim. You get all the Jews together to chip in for that box of matzahs right there. So they all make the Erev. Lo ho'ilu klum. You've accomplished nothing. V'cheinim bitlu l'goy o batalahen o bitlu Yisraelim zelazeh. V'nasu kiyachid imagoy. Lo ho ilu klum. And also, if the Jews are all mevatel their rishus to each other or to one guy, and they say, our rishus doesn't mean anything, it's all yours, also doesn't do anything. She'ein eruv mo'il b'makom guy. An eruv alone is not going to help if there's a guy there. Vein bitul rishus mo'il b'makom guy. Being mevatel rishus from today until tomorrow, whether the guy's mevatel is rishus, we're mevatel, doesn't help. The only way to do it is we need to rent the rishus from the guy. So you need to have the combination of the two. For the Jews in the neighborhood, we need an Erev. For the guy in the neighborhood, we need schiris rishus. We need to rent from them, from each and every one of them. Good. That's the halacha. That's how the Rambam says it. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in source number 3. It would be repetitive to read it. We don't need to see it right now. But that's the halacha. Now, because this schirus, as we said, is only midrabanan, the Gemara on Samach Bezam and Aleph and Erevin is paskan halacha in the Rambam, is that we take a lot of leniencies with this schirus. The schirus doesn't have to be the most ironclad schirus in the world, but it needs to exist. We need to have. What do I mean? It doesn't need to be ironclad. So the Gemara says you could rent for pachos mishavapruta. You could give less than a shavapruta, which is a very, very tiny amount of money. Typically, we give more than a shavapruta. Typically, we'll do a 10-year rental, let's say, for a dollar. So it's more than a shavapruta. Okay, so it's not that much more, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing such a schirus. It could be for a very tiny amount of money, and we take other kulas with this schirus rishus. The ishto shel gai is maskera shelo midaito. His wife could do it even if he doesn't approve. So let's say he's not interested in joining the schirus rishus. He doesn't like how the neighborhood is turning so religious, and he's not happy about it. So as long as his wife wife is sympathetic to our cause and we can get her in a moment of weakness to be socher reshus, that would be good too. Normally that, you know, in a normal schirus agreement that would not work, but over here for schirus reshus, we're makel, and we're also makel for what we call schiro lekito, which is anyone who works for him, anyone who represents his household, someone who works for him, someone who was a farmhand that works on his estate, they also could do it. Even though normally, obviously, you can't trust just any low-level employee that happens to be working on his estate to represent what he wants or to represent his, to represent him in his business affairs. But this schirus we're very makel with. Even schiru lekito, you can even do it from take the schirus from a farmhand, from a simple farmhand. That's all fine. Great. So that is what we
But if we're making it so easy, then don't we?
It defeats the purpose
of making it harder to live with Goyim.
Yeah, but the whole thing is such a chumra midrabanan in the first place that, you have to say that they tried to balance it because the whole thing was such a chumra al gabi chumra. Because really, the whole thing is a Rosh Hashanah anyway. So really, midaraisa, it's no problem whatsoever. Then on top of that, the guy's dira is not even a dira. So that's another reason why it's not, why even in this Dirabanan world where these things are problems, that's not a problem because it's not even a dira. So since it's such a chumra al gabi chumra to begin with, they decided to add in all of these extra kulas. That's what it seems. But you're right, it does seem to undermine the whole purpose because it makes it much easier.
Because they were afraid the Jews are going to call it and it's just a yachid, they're going to can it just like this.
Okay, there is definitely a school of thought in Erevin that we need to do whatever we can to set up an Erev wherever we can because Jews will carry anyway. And we need to, you know, even those who did not hold of Erevin as a rule, didn't hold anything was kosher enough, many, many poskim, Rav Yashav amongst them, held that you just need to set it up. Wherever you can, just set up some kind of Erev because it's going to be happening. There is definitely that school of thought. And, you know, it's funny you ask. Now it's so easy, right? What do you do when you have thousands of Goyim that are in this Rosh Hashanah Yachid, surrounded by Tzuras HaPesach and Mechitzos over a span of, what do we have in this neighborhood? Now, in the greater five towns area, I think they check 15, 16 miles of Erev that they go around checking. That could cover a lot of houses. So what do you do? And there used to be, when I was growing up, there used to be Goyim that lived in the five towns. So what do you do when you need to rent the rishus from all these people? So in the book that I showed you last week, The Laws of an Eruv, that just came out from Rabbi Francis from Chicago, I forgot the other author's name, two authors put together, they write, if you look in source number 5, I typed it up so there may be some typos, in a city, however, it would be impossible to rent directly from all non-Jewish residents. To address this issue, the accepted practice for hundreds of years was to rent from the government. The governments of previous times had broad-based authority, including the right to enter one's home at any time, or the right to demand the resident's house, the residents house soldiers in times of war. This empowered them to act as an agent for all the non-Jewish and non-religious Jewish residents of the town. Meaning the government was able to represent everybody because the government really owned all their houses. The government was the real balabas. And the Gemara actually talks about that case. If you have a non-Jewish resident, and then the non-Jewish landlord of that non-Jewish resident comes, so you could certainly do schiras shus from the landlord, right? He's on top, right? So the government owned everything. So of course you could just go straight to the government. You'd only have to go to the governor or the mayor, and that's it, and then you're done. That's your schiras shus all in one shot. Says the laws of an Eruv, says this book, Hagon Rav Yosef Shalom Eliyashiv Zatzal strongly maintained that the authority invested in our current day democratic government is not sufficient for this purpose. That's a problem. If it's not sufficient for this purpose, if our democratically elected officials do not have the power to throw us out of our homes, they do not have the power to tell us we have to host soldiers, or any other types of things, what we have to do with our homes, then they don't have the power to represent us or our non-Jewish neighbors to do schiras reshus. And then in the footnote I put in the Hebrew, Shamanu b'shmo, we heard in the name of Rav Eliyashiv, Sha'amar shebishonim sha'avar, haya b'koach ha'memshala lasas masharotzim, va'amar, and he said in Yiddish, I'm not even going to try it, I'll just read the Hebrew part, ani zocher heich shesholcho osimi mitasi. He says, I remember they threw me out of my bed. The government would come in, and I don't know when in his life this was. It was when he was a child, apparently. It was a long, long, long time ago. But I don't know if this was under British Mandate Palestine. I'm not sure exactly when this was in his life. But he says, yeah, that's a government that you could do a Skiris Rishus for. So if you live in a nice dictatorship, so that's where you could do a Skiris Rishus. It makes Erevin very easy and everything else in life very hard. But if you live in a democratic society, so it makes Erevin very difficult. So now we have a real problem. So Rabbi Yashiv says, we can't do anything. So what do we do? So in order to figure out what we do, we need to take a step back. Where does this idea come from that if they own our houses, if we could host soldiers in our houses, and how much control, how much power do they have to have, and what kind of power from a legal perspective, and this is where the lawyers are going to come in handy, how much power does the government actually have when things need to get done? Eminent domain, what are the limits of that, and is that sufficient? So let's take a look. The Torah in Simeshin Sadi Aleph, Torah writes very curtly, very briefly, Ve'ein maspik b'masha yiskor misar ha'ir. Don't think about going to the governor. That's not going to do it. The governor is not good enough. It's not sufficient. Says the Beis Yosef. We're not going to read the whole thing, but the Beis Yosef takes up the entire page 3 over here. Umasha kosav rabenu ve'ein maspik b'masha yiskor misare ir. Says Ken kosav Mordechai b'shem Ram v'gam akolbo kosav Ken b'shem Ram v'hap shita she'ein divrayim b'sar. It's not basar. B'sar shahabatim shalo v'hiskil l'bnei ha'ir v'yachol asalkam. When the Torah says that going to the governor is not enough, that's not talking about the kind of governor who can throw you out of your house. The Gemara says in the sixth parak of Erevin, the landlord comes and you can do skirus just from the landlord. So why, if the landlord is such a rich landlord that he owns the entire city, should it make it any worse? Of course you can rent from such a landlord. So says Beis Yosef Aleph, I know the Torah says that you're not allowed to go to the governor, but certainly if the governor really owns everything and he can throw everybody out of their houses, certainly then you can go to the governor. Gabi Reish Lakish, Tamid Rabbi Chanin, Diklu Punduk, Vakasar Rabbeinu, Besimushin Pei Beis. Vegam Ein Divrehem, Bisar Shahabatim Shalo, Viskirim Lebnei Yir, Ve'ein Lo Rishus L'Salkam. He says, now I'll take a step down in the power of this Sar. Even if the Sar does not have the ability to throw everybody out of their homes, V'yesh Lo Rishus L'Niach Sham Kelav, but he has the rights to keep things in people's homes, to ask them to watch something of his in their homes. So that also would count. If the government has the right to say that we're going to keep power lines on your property and you can't do anything about that because this is a public works thing and I don't care that you own your house, but we have the rights to keep certain things in your property, so then that's also enough power to say that we could be socher from them. He doesn't say power lines. That's my leap that I'm making. But he's saying if they could take something on your property and say it's ours, we're keeping this here, whether you like it or not, and they have the right to do that without paying you for it. So fine, ukmoshen. Even if they do have to pay you for it, as long as you have to take it, meaning if it's a negotiating thing and you could say no, then it's not good enough. So he says, and the raya is straight from the Torah itself, and then he goes on to quote a Tshuvas HaRashba, and he writes that the Rashba says that not only is that enough, I'm sorry, he quotes from the Rashba that says the ability to evict somebody is enough, and from the Rivash who says that the ability to keep objects in somebody's house is enough. So now the Beis Yosef significantly limited how much power you actually need to have. The Chacham Tzvi in the Tshuva in Simin Vav, I'm not going to have time to go through it carefully, but the Chacham Tzvi in Tshuva and Simin Vav goes through this Beis Yosef and says all of his rayas are bad rayas. His raya from the Rashba is not really true. The Rashba doesn't really hold this way. When he says from the Rashba that even if you could just leave your stuff there, he says the Rashba does not hold that would apply to. Let's put it this way. The Beis Yosef applied this. He says every governor can leave his stuff there. What do you think they do in times of war? In times of war, we need every hand on deck, and we use everything that's at our disposal. And everybody's house becomes the governor's business to figure out how he's gonna maximize all of the assets in the town. So says the Chacham Tzvi, that's not enough. Times of war? No, it would need to be something regular. It would need to be a regular kind of usage of the person's house for the Sar Ha'ir to have that kind of power, where we could then do his Chiris Rishus from the Sar Ha'ir. It's not enough that it's just times of war. Times of war are not going to do it. Now, the Rivash goes one step further. If you look in source number 10, the Rivash says, Va'od yesh tamachar lahatir k'niyas ha'rashus min ha'adon. He says, I'll give you another reason why a Sari ear would work. Ki yadua ki derech harabim hu li'olam la'adon. Who owns the streets? Even though the houses, the private houses, may be owned by the individual Gayim, and it's not owned by the governor, but who owns the streets? That's definitely owned by the Adon. L'shanosa k'moshe yirtza, and he could change the traffic patterns and change what's going to be a highway and what's going to be a... He could change it at will. V'laseis l'balei abatim derech mitzad acher, as long as he provides them with another road into town, he could take away a road into town. Right, I certainly didn't ask for the Van Wyck to be under construction for the last 20 years, but they have the right to do that. They could add a lane, take away a lane, build a sky thing, whatever, do whatever they want, because they have the rights. They have the rights to do that. Im kein, harei yochel esalek hakutim min amavui. You could get them all out. That Sarir has the ability to get everyone off the streets. They can close off streets. This is critical in halacha. Who has the rights to close off streets in our cities? The government. And who normally closes off streets? The police. So maybe all you need is your local cop, go to a police officer, and be socher rishus from the police officer, because he has the right to close off streets, and therefore all of those streets are considered to be under his jurisdiction. V'kivin sheyachol esalkam har yachol haknos harishus. El shetam ze lo yaspik lahaknos loti min amavui lebatei akutim. But says the Rivash, that works for us to be able to carry in our streets. It will not allow us to carry into the homes of the non-Jews who live amongst us. Meaning, again, Diras Akum is not really called Dira. The whole thing is only a Chumrah, right? So we're able to divide their homes from the streets. Their Chelek in the streets is not as much theirs as their homes are theirs. Because the police officer is not allowed to set up a blockade in the person's home, but is allowed to set up a blockade throughout the streets. So we can go and do Schiris Rishos from the police officer, and that would be fine. So says the Rivash, but just not in their homes, and it's certainly not going to permit carrying in their homes. So that's the Shita of the Rivash.
So that would allow us carrying the streets if we went into a guy's home.
You would not be able to carry into his home, right?
But talking about the area that's surrounded by the four walls, so what gives you the right to carry within that area if you do a Sefiras Hashus? And if he's saying it's a good Sefiras Hashus to sell to the cop, to rent from the cop.
Yeah, so it's good Sefiras Hashus on the streets, but the cop doesn't have any rights in the guy's home. But the guy's home really, Maker Din, is not a Dira. It's all just part of this Gezeira, so we could ignore that. We could, like, exclude it. The Ramah paskins like this Rivash. Ramah in source number 11. V'yeshom l'davkalini lahotzi lahaknas l'rashus ha'akum. Avol l'taltal b'mavoy yachol l'skor min asar. Shari derech ha'mavoy hu shal asar v'yachol l'sali kol ha'akum isham. That it's only for the guy's house itself that you would need him to actually participate. But you can go to, at least you can go to the Sarir for the streets, because the Sar has the rights over the streets and the police force has the rights over the streets. That's how the Ramah paskins.
What can they distinguish between?
No, just the fact that he has the ability to close it off means that's enough. What was the whole sheet of the Rashba? Is that if he can evict somebody from his house, so that's enough power over the house. Now, it doesn't mean the governor can go in and move into the house, but he could throw somebody out of the house. That's enough, even if he can't move in himself. The fact that he could throw somebody out is enough bailus on it that he could do the Schiris Rishos. So he could throw somebody off the streets. Granted, he can't just bring his family there and make a whole party, but he could throw somebody off the streets. And that's enough for him to be able to do the Schiris Rishos. Now, applying this to our cities, yeah?
Sorry. I said correctly before,
You'd say that even if one guy in there was a group and one wasn't masking, that was enough to break the ability to make the Eruv.
Right.
So if we're saying that the police authority is only on part of the area within the Eruv, there are pockets
So what we're doing,
that are not,
there are holes here that are not included, but it's private homes. Any street, the rights of every single guy in the streets are taken care of. The private homes, which is lo shma dira anyway. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the way it must work. Yeah, even though it's part of that same space. Yeah.
So can we carry it to a guy's house and the
Yeruv here? Oh, so 1 second. So we have to see. So now let's see. Can we do a schirus rishos on the guy's actual home? Is there any reason to assume that we have any sort of bailus, that a governor or the government, I should say, has any sort of bailus over the guy's home? So in the Sefer Smechem L'Shamro, I have no idea who it is, but Rabbi Simon quotes it in the Sefer Imre Baruch. On page Lamed Zayin Lamed Ches, source number 12, he writes, and again, this is some contemporary person writing very recently. Be'erech lifnei shana yatzah psak mi beis hamishpat ha'elyon ba'artzos habris, the Supreme Court in America, sheyesh reshus biyad sara ir likach bal karcho habatim ashayachim la'anashim patriim v'livnos b'makom zeh shal habatim davar shehu l'tzarchei rabim kogon merkas chanuyos u'chadoma. This is eminent domain, right?
Domain.
Yeah. So this is what?
It was a very big case.
This is a very big case, Supreme Court case, eminent domain. This means the government has the right to say, everyone out of your homes, we're building a shopping mall here because the city needs a shopping mall, or we're building a train station here, or anything like that. Min rak min hanachri balabayis lasias eruv me ata yesh etza tovel tzaruch tikun eruv liskar misari ir gam abatim velo rak harachovos. We don't need to rely on the rivash. Eminent domain saves us. We can even rent from the sari ir the house themselves. Vayidei zayyeh mutter lahachnas alhotzi gami batei nachrim. We can even go into their homes. O mi eile shemisnagdim la'eruv. Or those who are opposed to the eruv. V'zeh nogeah b'kal makam ba'olam sha'achok sham hu kanal. And anywhere in the world that has such a law of eminent domain, it's perfectly good. In the next source also, he quotes from the Constitution of the United States of America, Al Pia Constitution, in the second line, bet you didn't know how to spell Constitution in Hebrew, Al Pia Constitution, Mechuyevas HaMemshala, Achar Sheim Lokhim Abayis, Liftos Abaylim Kfi Shivoy Abayis, you have to pay them back, you have to, for whatever it's worth, Vizel Lo Betur Tashlumin El Betur, compensation. This is not payment that they're selling it to you. This is compensation because you've confiscated it from them. Big difference. If it's payment that they're selling it to you, that would mean they have the right to say no. But they don't have the right to say no. The government has the right to confiscate it and then pay them. They have to kind of, the government will compensate them for it. But that still reflects a certain power of the government. And beyond that, the Chazanish held that there's another right that the government has within people's homes, and this is quoted in the Kovetz Or Yisrael. Kovetz Or Yisrael says, the other thing that we have the right to do is the policeman could execute a search warrant. If they have a need or a cause to search someone's home, the person does not have to welcome them into their home. The person may say, no, I don't want you here, but they can still go in and search through the person's home. So you can barge into someone's home. If they suspect criminal activity, they can barge into somebody's home. That alone is enough, yeah?
Is there a lachachila to asking the guy in themselves, and then only if they refuse, then go to whatever government or whatever it is?
Considering that it's a $1 schirus for 10 years, you know, it's not like the most serious schirus in the world. I don't think that there would be much to gain by going around and asking each guy for, you know, we can rely on Sarayir is enough, at least for the, plus we have the Rivash.
Those are so many.
Yeah, it would be impossible. It's not like with a Jew, we do a zechia for every Jew in the neighborhood, and every Jew is going to move into, so everyone's included in that zechia. We would actually need a separate zechiras rishus from every, and every time someone moves, I mean, it would be impossible. Not just moves, comes for Shabbos. If he sets up residence for Shabbos, if he's shoveis there for that, so it would be impossible. It would not be shaykh. Now, here's where it gets really tricky. So now we've taken care of all the frum Jews. The frum Jews have that box of matzah, so we have our eruv. We've taken care of all the goyim. We go to the Sar Ha'ir and we get at least the streets, according to the Rivash, but thanks to eminent domain and thanks to search warrants, we get their homes, we get the homes also with the schirus. Does not mean you can go into a non-Jew's home and, you know, live there. It means that their presence in their home doesn't answer the rest of town for us. And if we want, if they ask us to borrow salt, we can bring the salt into their house, right? That's all it means. What we haven't really discussed is the non-religious Jews. Now, there's a major machlokas rishonim, how it works with non-religious Jews. Problem with the Eruv is that mi she'ino moda be'eruv can't be included in the Eruv. So there's your problem with certain people who dafka don't want the Eruv. And not just stam, people who are not religious. Let's go with the more extreme example of, I'm sure you saw in the news, the story in the Hamptons when they tried to build an Eruv. I don't know what happened in the end of the day. But there are many, many Jews who were fighting tooth and still being slow, okay, who were fighting against the Eruv. They were screaming, we don't want an Eruv. We dafka don't want an Eruv. So certainly they're not paying for a box of matzahs, right? Can we do, so normally what you do with a Jew, Zeinu Modu Be'eruv, is what's called Bittul Rishus. He would have to say, I'm mevatel my Rishus in this area to everybody else. These guys are not being mevatel their Rishus. So can you do Schirus Rishus? Meaning, we saw by Schirus Rishus, you could be Socher Rishus from a wife without the husband's consent. You could be Socher Rishus from the governor without the various Gayim being interested in doing it. They could say, no, 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 but the governor has enough rights to be Schiro Lakito, to serve as the, at least like a farmhand, who's able to do that. Can you do this with a Jew? Can you do Schirus Rishus with a Jew? This is a Machlokas Rishonim. The Rush in the sixth parak of Erev and Simeon Gimel says that it works. And the Torah passes this way as well. Schirus Rishus works with a guy. But the Mordechai in Perek Hadar, in that same Perek, sixth Perek of Erevin, says that it doesn't work. And the Beis Yosef thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Mordechai. That Schirus Rishus is not going to work for a Jew. What does the Shulchan Aruch pass on Halacha? This is going to be big, obviously. So says Shulchan Aruch, verse number 15. Im eino rotze levatelem Rishuso ella lahaskiro. Yesh omrim shemoil kimo bitul, v'yesh omrim she'eno moil. What if the non-religious Jew only wants to do schirus, he doesn't want to do a bitul rishus? Yesh omrim that it works, v'yesh omrim that it doesn't work. So how do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch quotes yesh omrim v'yesh omrim. What's the klal? We always go like the second yesh omrim. When he quotes a stam in the yesh omrim, we go like the stam. But he quotes yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, rule is we go like the second Yesh Omrim. If he quotes Yesh Omrim v'Yesh Misha Omer, then we go with the Yesh Omrim. It's, you know, the rules of the Shulchan Aruch. But we go like the second Yesh Omrim. Generally speaking, says the Magen Avram, Lule de Mistafina hi Yisi Omer da Ram Moda de Bechol Shari de Lama Yugara mi Bittel El de Shabbos Asura Liskar Davi Kamecha Chumemkar. He says, no, you know why there's a problem with doing Schirus Shus from a Jew? What's the issue? What's the problem? Says, because very often this is done on Shabbos. When do we talk about Bittul Rishus? Why doesn't a Jew just join in the Erev if he wants to be part of the Erev? Why would a Jew do Bittul Rishus? And say, because it's Shabbos and it's too late to join in the Erev. And we want to carry now. And the only way for us to be able to carry without his Rishus, making our Chatzar Aser for us, is by him doing Bittul Rishus. That's where the Rambam says you can't do Schirus Rishus. Because it's Shabbos, Mekach Memker. But if you're going to do it during the week, you're going to do the Schira during the week, then it's fine. De Bishla Magabe Akumendi Raso Dira Lashasa Bisham Gzera Lomikri Kinyan. By the guy, it's not even Mekach Memker. Even if we're Sokhers Rishus, it's not really a problem on Shabbos, because his Dira is not really a Dira anyway. The whole thing is a joke. It's not really, the whole thing isn't really required, Mekra Din. Avol be Yisrael, Asul Iskar. But by a Jew, we can't be Socher. Says the Mishnah Brura, source number 17, Sfirle de lo tiknu schiris el ba'akum avol lo be Yisrael, va'ayin ba'achronim, shechasu limtzel tam lezeh, va'magn Avram mitzadei de b'chol l'kuli alma yochel ha'askir, de lo gara mi bitol, de b'shabes Asul Iskar, davi kamechach memker. Quotes the Magen Avram, that maybe everyone really agrees. Both days in Shulchan Aruch maybe agree that it's really okay as long as you do it on a weekday. Ul'inyan halacha ha'elya rabba posek de'ein schirus mo'elis b'Yisrael klal. The Elya Rabba says, no, schirus never works for a Jew. Aval shari achronim mekilim b'zel de'inyan yime'achol ka Magen Avram. But all the other achronim are mekil. So we have 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. We have the Magen Avram insisting that both days really hold it's okay. But then we have the Mishnah Berurah telling us that the Eli Rabbah says it's really not okay, and all the other Achronim hold it is okay. So where we are right now is that if we hold like the Eli Rabbah, we're in trouble in the Hamptons. Meaning this whole fight is for nothing if you hold like the Eli Rabbah. They're going to fight, 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 and all you need to do is tell one irreligious Jew, all he has to say is no, and the whole Erev is ruined. Because he's not participating in a Bittul Rishus, he's not Schirus Rishus, you can't do for him, and he's not participating in your Erev. You're finished. If you hold like the Eli Rabbah. If you hold like the Mishnah Berurah, no problem. We could do Schirus Rishus, we'll just go to the mayor and do Schirus Rishus for him like we would do for a guy. And it would work, he doesn't have to participate in the Erev, he's not even allowed to participate in the Erev, if he's not Mode Be'erev.
Seems to be reverse discrimination.
Right, a guy can.
On the
Yeah, well, it's not discriminating against the guy. The guy, neither of them want it. It's right. The Tsar is overpowering the Ratzon of the Baal Batim over there. Now, what about using the Tsar Ha'ir? Now, what we've been discussing is, can you do Schirus Rishus with a non-religious Jew? So he said, okay, the halach is really you could do Schirus Rishus. Can you do Schirus Rishus from the Sar Ha'ir for a non-religious Jew? Is that better or worse, or is that the same? Meaning, does it make a difference if it's from the Sar Ha'ir or from anybody else? So in the Sefer Atzei Al-Mogin, he says, no, it's much, much worse to do Schirus Rishus. First, the Chuvus Ginus Varadim says, yeah, for sure, why not? It's great, what would be the problem? Says the Sefer Atzei Al-Mogin, can't be that Schirus Rishus works for a Sar Ha'ir from a Jew. Why? Because he says, let me just get to the punchline. He says, if that's the case, midas harashu, midas habeis Yosef anal, nekar chas v'shalom takonis erev legamri, then there would never be any need for an erev, because the Rosh holds schirus works for Yisrael, for a Jew. Beis Yosef holds schirus works for a sar with a sar ha'ir. Why would anyone ever need an erev? Just do a schirus rishus for everybody. We would never need to have an erev. If schirus rishus works for a Jew, right? What's the point of an erev?
Maybe it only works for a Jew that doesn't agree to an Arabic at Seiruf.
No, Schirus Rishus is the whole machlokas is when he wants to. He's willing to rent you his Rishus. That was the machlokas we showed him. We're trying to connect it to go into the government official, to going above his head. But the actual machlokas is about when he's interested. So says the Atzei Al-Mogim, Schirus Rishus can't work with the Sari ear for a Jew, because a Jew has Eruv. So you got to use Eruv or Schirus Rishus if he can't do it. But if he's able to participate, to go to the Sar Ha'ir, when the Jew, that he says, can't be. Now, the Avnei Nezer writes that it can work so long as he's not Amad V'Tzavach. So long as he's not screaming, I don't want it. So unlike a guy where he could scream from today till he's blue in the face that he doesn't want it, you could still go to the Sar Ha'ir and make the Schirus Rishus. By a Jew, you can't. According to the Avnei Nezer, according to the Atzei Al-Mogim, they're in big trouble in the Hamptons. You're not going to get the Jew to do the Schirus Rishus. You're going to go to the Sar Ha'ir. That's not going to help, because the Jew's screaming, I don't want it. I don't want these invisible wires. They look ugly, those invisible wires. Right? That's so what are you going to do? So the truth is, says the Sefer Or Yisrael, the journal Or Yisrael, rather, it really depends how you understand how Sar Ha'ir works. See, if Sar Ha'ir works midin Schiro Lakito, so maybe that won't work against the guy's will, because he's like an employee, so it comes from the power of the employer. But if it works the way we've been explaining Sar Ha'ir, that it's just that the Sar Ha'ir has more power than you, so your ownership of your house is worthless because someone gets to throw you out. So in eminent domain, there's no reason why it shouldn't work to overpower the Jew's ownership of his house, just like it overpowers the non-Jew's ownership of his house. And that seems to be what we are making with. Generally speaking, they'll go to a local mayor, they'll go to the police department, and they'll rent out for everybody over a 10-year period or over X number of years. They'll redo it every once in a while for everybody, for Jews, non-Jews alike. Generally, that's what it's based on. So the minhag is not like Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv thought we can't do it anymore. Our governments are too democratic. We generally are making that we can use Sar Ha'ir based on eminent domain, even for non-religious Jews.